Look back down at the slides. Now we go to chapter 10. And in chapter 10, after we pass this ninth chapter of the Assyrian armies bringing darkness and death, and that same place would be the place where the rejoicing would come of Christ's ministry, chapter 10 takes us into a time of the prophet saying, because of all this hope and promise, look at verse 15, shall the axe boast against him who chops with it? Shall the saw exalt itself against him who saws with it? What is this talking about? We'll look back at verse 12. It shall come to pass that the Lord has performed all his work in Mount Zion. What the Lord is saying is, see verse 21, that there is a promise that after, and see my map up here on the board, after the Assyrians did all this, we're going to see a little bit later in Isaiah, that they come to the border, the Assyrian army, after they destroy and skin and behead and impale and do all their awful stuff, they come down here to the border between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Right on that border is Jerusalem. That dot is Jerusalem. The whole army parks right here on the border. 185,000 soldiers. They park on the border. And Hezekiah is the king. And Hezekiah gets on his face and prays and says, Lord, we're helpless. We don't know what to do. Only you can help us. And the Lord said, I will not let them cross the line. He said, they will not get in Jerusalem and harm any one of you. And do you remember what happened? Hezekiah prayed. He went to bed that night. The next morning, he gets up and looks over the wall at this camp where 185,000 Assyrian terrorists were getting up to come pillage the city. And as he looked out at the camp, there was no movement. And finally, they sent scouts out, and they found that every single one of the soldiers had been killed in the night. Now look back at the slide. We are tools in God's hand. That's what it says right here in verse 15. We trust his power. The Lord will perform his promise to deliver us. And there's going to be a remnant to return to the mighty God. What he's saying is that these people need to trust God. See, trusting him. Even though, and look back here, even though such horror took place to the north, even though they were attacked and the army was camped on their doorstep, God says, this is just a test. And that's when God chose as a time to announce the incarnation at their time of greatest fear. Okay, let's go back to the slides. Chapter 11 and 12 goes on from this scene of the Assyrian attacks to a prophetic picture of the future kingdom. And in chapter 11, which we started in chapter 4 looking at this, do you see this word right here in chapter 11? A stem, or there shall come from a rod, the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his root, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. What we're seeing here is the promise of Jesus Christ coming. Now, remember, we looked at chapter 4 and said that this whole idea of the branch speaks of Jesus being kind of lowly and not appearing to be mighty. And that's the incarnation, that Jesus came into the world humbly. He came as a baby. He didn't come as a king. He came as a human. He didn't come as an angel. He came like us so he could save us. So chapter 11, as you look at it, gives a prophecy, again, of what Jesus would be like, that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding and counsel and might and knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And then look what down here in verses 5 and 6 we start hearing. Because as I showed you yesterday, there's this constant, and here I'll try and draw that for you too, because we don't have yesterday's lesson today, but the idea I want to stay with you. Do you remember that when Isaiah is talking, when he's writing, he's looking at the kingdom coming, the future kingdom, and he's looking at the king's arrival, what we call the first coming of Christ, and then his second coming here. But he's looking at modern times where Isaiah was living. And so what he sees is the Assyrians, this promised one, the mighty, you know, God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace coming. Then he sees this huge second coming with all the glory. And then he sees the establishment of the kingdom with Jesus reigning. And he doesn't see that there is significant time between each of these events. And this time here would be the captivity, the Babylonian captivity. This would be what we call the church age. And this would be what we call the tribulation. The millennium is right here and the tribulation is right here. So as chapter 11, now look back at this slide. This part of chapter 11 is talking about Christ's birth. This part, look what it's talking about. Verse 6, the wolf will dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the child shall lead them. Now look, verse 6, now look over here. That's talking about right here. So verse 1 is talking about right here, Christ's coming. Verse 6 is talking about the kingdom. That's what makes Isaiah so challenging. He sees events far and near and doesn't understand the time that's between them. Here's another one. Look back at the slide. This is talking about when the Messiah comes back at the second coming, and they shall not hurt or destroy in all the holy mountain, for all the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's talking about the millennium. So I put an M there. This is talking about the millennium. Put an M there. This is talking about the birth of Christ in verses 1 and 2. And then look right here. This whole section is fascinating in chapter 11. It shall come to pass, verse 11, in that day the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people. The second time? What's the second time? Well, here's another. Let me take you to the board. It's fascinating how Isaiah is such a fountain of information that now we who have the benefit of hearing Christ teaching in Matthew 24 and all of Paul's teaching in the book of Revelation, we can sort out all of these events. But Isaiah was here, and a generation and a half after him, Babylon comes in 586 and destroys Jerusalem and carries away the people. And then in 516, they return. So they're taken away into exile, the children of Israel, and then they return. And they're gone from the land for 70 years. This is the first return. Now look back at your slide. It says, and it shall come to pass in that day, verse 11, that the second time the remnant of his people who are left are going to come back from Assyria and Egypt and Pathros and Cush and all that. What is that? Look back over here. This is the first return. And what happens is they come back in the land, and in 70 AD, this time the Romans take them out of the land and totally destroy Jerusalem a second time. See, this is the first destruction of Jerusalem. AD 70 is the second destruction of Jerusalem, and all the Jews are sent into what is called the diaspora. And that is where Jews were banned from being in Jerusalem completely. I mean, the Roman emperor said, get out of here. And he slaughtered over 1 million of them in Jerusalem and hundreds of thousands in the land of Egypt. And the rest he just dispersed. That diaspora is still going on. Jews are all over the world. But what we've seen in the last, since about 1940s, it started, it picked up speed. And by the 80s, they're coming in so fast from all over Russia and Europe that there is the beginning. And right now we're seeing, look back at your slide, the second time they will come back, because during the tribulation, the Jews are in the land of Israel. So we are in the midst of this second return of the Jews right now as they're coming back to Jerusalem, to Israel. And that's what we're going to see in a little bit as we study later on in the book.